So I hear a little birdie told me that a young man is going to be 18 tomorrow. His name is Dusty. Why don't you stand up there, Dusty? Old 18. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dusty. Happy birthday to you. Hallelujah. This is my main man that came last Wednesday. Joslyn?
Yes, sir.
All right, stand up. Isn't he handsome among all these other guys? Yes. Football player. Tight, man. And he got filled with the Spirit. And I asked him a few moments ago, I said, "You still speaking in tongues?" He goes, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Bless you, bro. God bless you. Hallelujah." Well, Candy kind of got me started today, and then somebody else got her started. But really, some things had been going over my spirit. But I wanted to share out of some of the things that was said Sunday. But we're going to jump off there, and then go someplace else. But turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 13. How many enjoyed the prophetic exhortation on whether you understood it or not? I hope you did. I know you did in the spirit, the smiting the arrows to the ground. Hallelujah. What we're going to teach on tonight is how to be mean in a loving kind of way. Hallelujah. How to be mean in a loving kind of way. What's that? How to take vengeance in a very gentle kind of way. Maybe. Hallelujah. So 2 Kings 13. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. So why don't you stretch your faith this way and just kind of pray for me and help me. Thank you so much. Father, I love you. You've been moving so wonderfully for all these days. We can't remember when you haven't. And it is not by might, it's not by power, it's not through my works, it's not through their works. It's through Him whom the Son has set free. And we just keep looking up, and just keep looking up, and you keep giving. And we'll follow you all the way to the end of this, and just see what happens. We love you so much. We just commit them unto you, Lord. I pray for them as they're praying for me. I pray that you'll bless them. I pray exceedingly in their homes, in their marriages, in their single family dwellings, as singles, Lord, as young men, as young ladies. I pray the power of God will come upon their lives. Peace. Lay them down in peace. Raise them up in peace. If they stir in the night, may it be because, Lord, your Spirit is dwelling with them and stirring something and imputing something of great importance for their future and for the love of God that is instilled in all of us. We speak prosperity to the minds and to the bodies and to the souls and to the spirit. We thank you, Father, that every curse has been broken through the righteous blood of Jesus Christ. And I receive their prayers now for me, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to try to be mean in a loving kind of way. And we're going to go from 2 Kings to the book of Psalms. And we're going to bring out some Old Testament shadows, and then also try to wind up in 1 Peter chapter 5. We've got some scripture to read, but that's okay. And it'll be wonderful. Hallelujah. All right. We're just going to step into this, and we're not going to try to explain a whole lot behind it or give you the scenarios and try to explain any of the Old Testament kinds of things that are taking place here, other than just the meat of what we're going to use later. Chapter 13, verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hand upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Now just notice right there that he christens it right there. So this king is without ignorance that just at this moment that he's saying, This is significant. I'm not fooling around with you. This is not me doing this. God is saying symbolically what you're dealing with these arrows is God's delivering power. So he's not ignorant concerning the things that are about to take place in just the next few moments. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. Very specific. For thou shalt smite the Syrians of Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, Take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he just left it open there. And he smote thrice or three times and stayed. He stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, Thou should have smitten five or six times. And of course it was unlimited. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that, behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. Now that's some prayer cloth, isn't it? I mean, that's fire in this man's bones. He's very anointed. And so obviously I read that last part to let you know that this man was anointed. He was hearing from God. And he's very angry because of the insensitivity of this king, because he had the opportunity, and as if you find out what he prophesied, he told him, of course, you are going to smite your enemies, but you could have utterly destroyed them. You could have taken the weaponry of God. But see, here's the thing from the very, very beginning, and here's a shadow that will speak all the way through the old and into the new. If you don't know God, you don't know how to take His vengeance either. If you don't know how much He loves you, and if you don't know how much He wants to work through you to utterly destroy, then you will abate, you will only go so far. But God wants, He wants full dominion in your life. The things that He's asking of us now, it may seem hard at times, but if we get to know Him enough that He can open our eyes, He can let us see that where He's asking us to go, and the vengeance that He's asking us to take on the enemy, and then our flesh, that what He's wanting for us is far beyond anything that we could want and ask and believe for ourselves as far as goodness and graciousness is concerned. So this king, again, the arrows were christened. He knew that symbolically the arrows meant there was a literal war took place. Three ensuing battles took place. And in those three ensuing battles, Israel conquered. But it would have taken, according to the prophet, at least five or six of these ground-smiting, arrow-beating kinds of postures before the Lord for the Syrians to be totally, at that point in their history, totally destroyed. But what if the king had been so visionary? What if he would have just loved God and loved Israel so much, his people, and said, "My God, you stop me, because I'm going to keep beating until these arrows are nothing but straw." And that's what God has empowered us with a new nature. To take vengeance on our enemy and to do it limitlessly. To go all the way. And if there's anything in this teaching, preaching kind of message, it is that we're responding to something. And I want to say prophetically right now that every one of us, I believe, are hearing that we're on a straight and narrow. The narrow is getting narrower, I don't know, and it is getting to a place, but the liberty in Christ keeps getting stronger and stronger. And God is speaking to our hearts to go the distance. To go the distance and to posture our spirits into such a way that we're always ready to go the distance. Now, let's just look at it for joy's sake, in the book of Psalms. Let's go to one I like especially, Psalms 18. Hallelujah. And most of this we'll probably, if not all, we'll read. Being mean in a loving kind of way. A friend of mine that I esteem as a real warrior in Christ said one time, the Lord spoke to him at a specific time of his life and said, and many of you will know that I'm talking about Gary Carpenter that's coming, but I esteem him as a tremendous warrior in the Spirit. But there was something the Lord was dealing with him on, and I won't give this maybe correct verbatim, but the Lord said, "Son, one of the things that needs to be corrected in your life, if you want to say it that way, or I'm dealing with you, is that you have no taste for war. You have no taste for war." So here's, the Lord had to do something inside of him, and the Lord's doing something inside of each of us, because there is a lion and there is a lamb. And as sure as we are the bride that is learning how to just get so yielded to a coming groom, the other side of that is male or female. See, here's the hard part a lot of times for hairy-legged men. We're the bride, and we've got to yield, and we've got to get real intimate. But at the same time, male or female, tender, sweet lady, or tender-hearted man. I mean, you can't even, you know, I don't even like to hurt the little fish's mouth. Well, Jesus ate fish, and he told Peter, "Cast in the hook. Cast in the hook." But if you're real tender, that's okay. But at some point in the Spirit, you got to grow hair on your legs. And you got to get mean in the Spirit if you're going to win in these last days. Hallelujah to God. Oh, hallelujah. "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength." Now, I love the way that he starts this. And let me tell you this, this is a type and a shadow. And so anything that he's talking about people, he's talking about the enemy spiritually. David is not prophesying to us 21st century Christians to kill people and kill Goliath and take vengeance on people. But he is talking about devils and he's talking about demons and other places he's talking about flesh. Hallelujah. Sometimes the flesh is meaner than devils. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. If we had only devils to contend with and make part of the equation maybe easier. But he says, I will love thee, O Lord, in my strength. He just opens up his spirit. And he starts out in two ways, by worship and by confession. And these are two powerful keys that we've found in our Redeemer. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, hallelujah, my God, my strength. Notice that he just keeps saying, the Lord, he doesn't say the Lord is here, he says he's mine. Me and him have rubbed shoulders until you can't testify to me anymore and get this in me. This is mine. This is my God. Hallelujah. He's mine. And so he begins this worship session and he's worshiping the Lord. Now this whole, what I like about this is there's Candy read a powerful prophecy about human emotions, but there's a spiritual emotion that will build. And by the time that David gets to the end of this psalm, I can see the hair on the back of his neck is raised up and he is just, I mean, he has built himself in the Lord to a place. This thing starts and it gains momentum. And in the middle of it, he's saying, oh, and by the, you know, I'll beat up a whole army by myself. I mean, something took this guy to a place where he ascended before the Lord. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. This is messianic prophecy right here concerning Jesus Christ. The sorrows of hell compassed me about and the snares of death prevented me. This is Jesus. In my distress I called upon the Lord and he cried and cried unto my God. He heard my cry out of his holy temple, or out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook. Glory be to God. Now this is the power of the born-again nature, and this is what your Father responds. Hallelujah. But it is a place of dominion, is a place of intimacy. Here's the tremendous dichotomy. Here is a place of worship and gentleness and anger against your foes in the spirit, but yet a great outpouring of power. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was angry. There went up smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured coals. What a powerful picture this man is describing of how angry God gets at your enemies. He bowed the heavens also and came down and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yes, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion around about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, and hailstones and coals of fire. Yes, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of the waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered. And at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of thy nostrils, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. This is the place we're going to be living every day, that every day we see the graciousness of our God. He delivered me from the strong enemy, and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place, and He delivered me because He delighted in me. Now, obviously, I'm going one direction with this, and there is so much to be said there. There is so much to be taught here, and there is so much. So we're passing over so much just to get to a certain point here. But He says, "You have set my feet in a large place." The dominion that God wants to take place in the vengeance against your flesh and against the enemy is not a place of trepidation. It's not a narrow spot. This is the amazing part. We choose our words, and our words are understood by the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit gives us this wisdom. Now, which is it? Is it a narrow spot or is it a wide place? It's both. Because as you enter into the way that is straight, there is more liberty given to you, and you find that what in your flesh you were trying to straddle, and there was a cleft, and there was fear, anxiety, and all those things because you were trying to do it of yourself, and you were trying to fight of yourself. Once obedience is given, and once submission is given, and once yieldedness is given. And one of the things that I see the Lord's wanting to talk to us about more than ever before, and we were on this a couple of weeks ago, is just the yieldedness. It's grace. It is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the only way that we're going to access that ever is just to continue to learn how to yield to His coming. Yield to His obedience, or to His grace. Now, what verse was I on? 19, 7. Okay. I'll split the difference and go to 18. "And they prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth in a large place and delivered me because He delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His judgments were before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me. I was also upright before Him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands and His eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, with the upright thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people and will bring down the high look." A look is where humility begins to come in. "For thou wilt light my candle," that is the inner, the man. Here comes the born again nature and the power thereof. "The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." Here's the building from the very beginning, verse 1. And here he's at a point. He says, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in Him. For who is God except the Lord? Or who is a rock except our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He setteth me in the high places." This hind is this little goat, this little staying on the rock, not falling. Very, very careful place, but yet a sure place. "He teaches my hands," verse 34, "to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holded me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged," again he talks about, "my steps underneath me, that my feet did not slip." Listen, the further we go into this, the freer we're getting. Even though there's a battle against us, and even though there's a war against our flesh, the more we keep yielding, the wider this place gets. It's a sure, steadfast place. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Again, verse 36. "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip." 37. I have pursued my enemies and have overtaken them. Neither did I turn until they were consumed. I have wounded, and again, for us, this is not people, of course. This is in the realm of the Spirit. 38, I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For Thou hast girded me with strength unto battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the neck of my enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but He answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the street. Hallelujah. Thou hast delivered me from the striving of people, and Thou hast made me the head of the heathen, a people in whom I have not known shall serve me. Now let's just back up for just a moment. He says that You have given me the necks of my enemies, that I might destroy them. He said, they cried unto the Lord, or they cried and there was none to save them. And He said, I beat them small as dust before the wind. Now, going back to 2 Kings, this is the heart that the prophet wished that king would have had. That he would have beat his enemies sore. And when David is prophesying here of the vengeance of our God, he's saying that whatever it is that challenged the dominion. Now what we're talking about right now, we're not talking about heaven and hell. We're talking about going into revival. We're talking about the sanctified life. And we're talking about God changing you from glory to glory. And as you do, you have to understand that there is a particular anointing given to you as the believer to pursue your enemies to the point where it says here, He says that You've given me the neck of my enemies. I did, verse 42, I did beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as dirt into the street. The dominion that God wants us to understand that He's given to us through the new nature and now through the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit is not to reconcile with the flesh and not to give it a place of quarter, whether it be sickness in our life, whether it be a dominion of the flesh in some way that has hung around. Listen, you're always going to... This part we have to understand. Pastor, will there ever be a point between now and revival and after revival where there will not be a war against the enemy? No. But the principles, let me say it this way, the principles of things that He holds the body of Christ in garrison with, like sin, or what we don't equate as sin, like worry, or fear, or anxiety, or jealousy, or debate. Very, very opinionated. I'll tell you, I know that more so than ever before that I'm not the epitome. But I do find out one thing. The more I know, the less I feel like trying to convince anybody. I mean, unless the Holy Spirit, while they're just running their mouth. Now, I will say something. If there's little ones around and they're going to sow something in them, I've got to say something then. Because if they're going to sow something that's going to cause them to go off, then I've got in a loving way. But unless the Holy Spirit says anything, it's like, why are you going to jump into this unless I've opened the door for you? So it seems like the more that I know, the less I'll say anything. But He says this, I have pursued my enemy and I did beat them sore as dust. In other words, He wants you to understand that the further that you go into this walk and the more that you're able to worship Him, that there is a spirit of vengeance against the flesh and against the enemy
that will overtake you to a place where you give no quarter to the flesh, or you pursue after it, whereas before you were trying to hope that it didn't show up, but now there's a sanctification that comes that says, Lord, I know who I am, and I'm not condemned in the transformation process. We're not talking about heaven and hell. We're talking about becoming warriors of the kingdom of light. We're talking about pursuing our enemies until they're overtaken. We're talking about beating the sheaves of arrows until there is nothing left in them. We're talking about pursuing the flesh, not through us trying to pursue it and trying to go into what you might say witch hunts or trying to figure out what's wrong with me. We keep our eyes on Him, and as we keep our eyes on Him and not focusing on our faults and not focusing on our weaknesses, but when He gives dominion and we see that dominion, we agree with that dominion and we agree with it, and our agreement with that dominion gives Him the power to cast out our enemies. Soar. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I was thinking about yesterday afternoon. Candy and I went and picked up our four grandchildren that live here in Immokalee, and April, Amber, Marisol, and Damien, because they're out of school this week, you know, and we hadn't seen them in a little while. And we went and I said, well, you know, in the afternoon we'll get all everything done we need to get done, and I get out of prayer, we'll just go pick them up and get some chicken and go to the park. So we went and got Popeyes. And I like Popeyes. Kids like Popeyes. And we went over to the park next to the library. Well, they got all that playground in there. We're there 5:30, 6 o'clock, and we were eating. And then all of them wanted to be chased by Papa, you know. So I got to chase them all. And they're, you can't get me, you can't get me. So April, it was so funny. And I'd wait till I catch them, because they could go underneath those little things, and I couldn't crawl up underneath there. They could just... Huh? It was harder for him. So, but what was so funny was, every time I'd run at her, I'd get a good start, and I'd catch her. As soon as I'd catch her, because that whole ground is, it's got those sawdust shavings on it, you know, it's real, real spongy, real comfortable. She'd just fall out and close her eyes just like she passed out, because I'd run up to her and I was going to grab her and she'd just pass out. You ever seen those, what do they call them? There's a certain name for it, but they're fainting goats, you know, and their defense mechanism is if you put them under anxiety, they'll just stiffen like this and they'll fall over. And all four legs just stiff like this. And they look like they've just died right in front of you. I've seen them on TV. They're the funniest things in the world. You spook them and they'll just stiffen and they'll just fall over. Well, I mean, we must have done that 10 times. April, I'd almost run over, because I'd be running all around. And as soon as I almost touched her, she'd just pass out like this. And then I'd just give quarter to her and I'd leave her alone, let me go run after the other ones. He says here something very particular. It's incredible what he says here. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord. Wait a minute, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Do you know, now catch this if you don't catch anything else, if you get on a fast track with the Lord, or a good track, and I'm not saying this so you can begin to go through in the index of your mind and think of who and who has not, but if you'll watch people's lives that get on fire, and we see them, or they're in church, it doesn't have to be this church, what happens when it seems like that they're on fire, you see them week after week after week, and then all of a sudden, boom, it's, and they're not even there, they're just gone. It says they cried unto the Lord. Now, you're talking about devils here, Pastor. Now you're switching on us and saying, because I can't reconcile this, I can't get a devil crying to the Lord. But let me tell you something. it reminded me when I got close to my granddaughter the other day, when I just about touched her, she'd just stiffen up and fall over, and then I'd leave her alone. Do you know this? Now this, I really believe, this is one of the things that David's saying about spiritual warfare and about you going into God. One of the things that the enemy will do if you turn on him, and if you begin to run him down through the Spirit and through your praise and through your pursuance of God, and you say, God, I'm choosing you. I will die as you give me grace to die. And if you run, see, David was talking about a place where you give them no quarter, you give them no mercy. When you do get them, you beat them sore. You beat the arrows until there's nothing left. There's nothing left of the sheaves. If you chase them down and you're running there after them in the Spirit, just about the time you touch them, they'll turn and they'll beg for mercy. And the way that they do that is an uncanny kind of way is this. What usually takes people in is hard times. And they fall in love with God during the hard times. And they realize that He is an answer, an anchor. He is the put back together of my life. He's the strength of my marriage. He's the strength of my body. He's the healing of my mind. And once you begin to pursue your enemy, you will find a consistency growing in your life. But the moment that you get to the core, the moment that you get to the place where you're about to beat him sore as dust before, he will invariably turn and cry out for mercy. And the way that he does that is this. He will promise you, whether you realize it or not, that he will leave you alone if you just won't continue doing what you're doing. And you don't hear it in those words, but a sense of ease. Oh man, we haven't had any really confusion around here in a long time. My body is being extremely blessed of God. Our finances have changed in these last couple of months. Oh, in my mind that was under pressure, it has eased up. And God was the one that was doing it. But He was doing it because you were pursuing your enemy and he was running. And just about the moment that you start to devour him and beat him, he will turn and promise you, I won't bother you anymore. And the sense of that is this. An ease comes on so much of the church that they feel like I've won. Now, what I was doing up to this point, I sense a feeling that I can take a little vacation now. I can ease off on my attendance at church. I can ease off on my devotion in praying in tongues. I know that consistently the Lord had me doing this in fasting and doing this in prayer, but oh man, it just feels so good to be free. Let's just take off and vacation for a little bit. And you don't say it, and you can't hear him saying it with the natural ear, but he's a great negotiator, and the way that he gives it is through an emotion, and that emotion speaks volumes. It's like, relax. Now, there is a relaxation that God will bring and cause you to feel his rest, but there's another one that says, you need to just kind of cool what you've been doing. You don't have to pray as much as you used to. Because it's all by grace. And it is by grace. And we're going to say something about that in just a moment. But that devil, he'll beg for mercy. But he's a liar. Because the moment that you say, I was going to chop your head off. Oh, but I can't hardly take a fish out of a, I can't hardly take a hook out of a fish's mouth. What God wants you to do is to take the sword of the Spirit and absolutely behead him. Means go on past the place where you've ever been before. At some point, the reason why they're here and then they're gone is because they hit a point and there was some kind of negotiation. Go past negotiation. Go past the feelings of ease. Receive the ease from God, but go past the temptation to say, I can back up now. Hallelujah to God. Powerful. Thank you, Jesus. And he says, Thou hast delivered me from the striving of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen and the people. I'm going to finish this since we were reading it. And whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The stranger shall submit themselves unto me. The stranger shall fade away and be afraid out of close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yes, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me, and thou hast delivered me from the wicked or from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praise unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. Now just another place here in Psalms, so we can move right along and just go to a place in the New Testament before we finish up. But let's look at Psalms 35. Hallelujah. Now we're not going to read all of Psalms 35, but I want to catch part of it. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is that same spirit of vengeance. It's that same spirit of, I said before, just to coin a something for you to remember, being mean in a very loving way, because this is going to come out of the gentleness of the power of a new nature and your worship. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me, and fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for my enemies. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back that brought confusion, that devised my hurt. Let them be as the chaff before the wind. And watch this. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. What a pronouncement of vengeance. He says, let their way be dark. Now, you know he's not talking about, he's not cursing some human being. He says, let their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. Isn't that great for us? Let their way be, in other words, let it be dark that they cannot see, taking vengeance upon my enemy. And you know, it's hard to run in a slippery place when somebody has poured oil all over your path. And on top of that, he says this, let the angel of the Lord chase them. And I can't think of any other greater epitome of God saying to the new nature and against the flesh and against the enemy that tries to take vengeance on you through your flesh, is to say, look, that enemy that's out there, as far as I'm concerned, there's no quarter to it. There's no mercy to it. It's absolutely dominion or nothing. Let their way be slippery. Lord, let them keep falling down. And every time they fall down, let a big 8-foot angel be over the top of them. To pow! Now that's a mean kind of spirit. He's describing in the, I can think up ways for this devil to be rid out of my life. God, I'm not asking that I'll just come to a place where I make peace with him. But I pray that, Lord, that I will so pursue him through the Spirit, and that you will send your spiritual force, and that he's so far removed, and that, Lord God, that he finds no grips for his footing, and he keeps slipping down, and every time he slips down, this is the anger of the Lord. There's an angel over the top of him with a big whip that, pow! Ooh! Glory be to God. Let him persecute him. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's turn over to Peter and close this. I think it's 1 Peter. Chapter 5, yes. Now it says in verse 6,
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And of course, we've read this before, but we're going to read it again. And it is so important that we understand this, that, and even in preface to this, that we did not read, He's talking about humility, because the exaltation out of something begins with humility. And that humility begins first with God. It begins by, as I said before, a yielded spirit. We're not worshiping keys. We're worshiping the Lamb. And the Lamb has said, okay, when your flesh is weak, I've empowered you to do these things. I've empowered you to pray in tongues. I've empowered you to worship. I've empowered you to read my word. And as you do, this is a humbling process, because you're accepting my word above what your flesh says. You're accepting how your worship comes up before me rather than what your emotions say. And this is humbling. This is how we humble ourselves. We're saying, God, you've shown us the way, so I'll follow you, whatever you say. Under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober. It sounds like some of David's vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, he is our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now listen, truly under humility, we are so safe. We have the bars that are around us are so thick. The hedge of thorns that is around us is so thick that these things that want to destroy us, they have no power. Once you begin to understand, and we're all on this trek, once we understand the love of our Father, we understand how diminished our adversary really is. But if that humility, which Paul was continually having to give himself to and say, it is the grace of God, it is the grace of God. I have to continually remind myself that in my human frailty, in my weaknesses, His strength is made perfect in my weakness. So therefore, I'm continually contending with this to humble myself and say, it's not by might, it's not by power. To scoff Him and to go another way, in which you and I will not. And to say, man, we have been born again. Yeah, I get a clue. I got that. You don't have to remind me. Got it. Do you know how many got it's in the kingdom of God have gone through divorce court? Do you know how many got it's, you don't have to tell me that, have been destroyed? But the humility, the humbleness of our God, as we yield ourselves to Him and say, Lord, I only get this because you keep reminding me. I only get this because you keep telling me, Lord, this is you. But knowing it is you, it is so safe. It is so safe. He says this, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Because of this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, isn't this amazing how he concludes this? The God of all grace. Everybody say all grace. He didn't just say grace, he said all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that you have suffered a while. Now the while is this. It's not a time clock like, okay, let's leave them. They're in the crock pot right now and they're cooking in this. In fact, God didn't put you in the crock pot. And so the while, and in the due season that he begins this with, is the everything in between
the beginning of the trial, whether it's been around so long you can't even remember how long it's been, and when the perfecting takes place inside of you, where true humility, and my God, I'm just one of you. I'm just one of you. Where true humility begins to kick into a place where you begin to say, Lord, this is yours. I can't do it. I can't do it. It is yours and yours alone. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. It's yours and yours alone. So, Father, you know, it's yours. And when that happens, you're rescued immediately. You're established. You're strengthened. You're settled. And he goes on to say here, in the grace of God, and he talks about, what does it say? To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Do you know he wants us to walk in dominion? Now, this is the part that it's hard for us to understand. Pastor, you said there's always going to be a battle. That's right. But there's always going to be some sort of symptom, whether that symptom is in the flesh or whether it's against the marriage or the finances. There's going to be something trying to come to divert you. It's always a lie. But the principal things, like the dominion of not receiving fear, not receiving anxiety, not receiving care, not walking in your own strength, those things really can come to a place. When he's talking about this, there is a literal place in Christ that the dominion takes over to whether that particular area of your life becomes settled, and it's all by the God of all grace. Oh, Jesus, thank you for it. It's not by, I call it, calorie counting in the spirit. I don't believe in the... Now, sometimes it's good if you're trying to start a discipline. I mean, in fact, if any of you have or are counting calories, see, I can eat this. I'm going to write this down. 200. 500 on that one. Sometimes that's good because it'll educate you to know, because there are foods that I've thought, man, I can eat this whole grain bread. Boy, it's just... And then later you look at it and you go, oh my God. That's what's been putting the roll on. I thought I was doing something good. So that education is good. Popeyes, thank you. Thank you. Popeyes. But your life's not supposed to be... You know, you're not supposed to be measured. I mean, who wants to live your whole life measuring your food and calorie counting? Wow. Writing it down. Neither is your spiritual life supposed to be like, I'm going to win this because I've written down, or I'm keeping log. Okay, last week I did, you know, a certain amount of hours and I got them all done. And yes, strive for those things, but it's the God of all grace. It's through relationship and fellowship, not a formula. Glory be to God. It's a what? A large room. This part I hesitate to say, but I think it'll help you, because I don't want to bring attention to myself. But there's been times in my walk that I've been on we call them extended fast, and I would be within a day or two of maybe... what some people would think, that's a magical day. If you complete that particular number, angels come out. Heaven opens up. Now, I have heard his voice say, go a certain amount, and you be obedient. But it's all fellowship. It's all relationship. And I'd be a day or two from it and feel, because no one fast is going to settle everything. You just, I hate to tell you this, you're going to have to keep fasting until Jesus comes back. So you might as well settle in to say, okay, this one's not going to settle everything, so what do you want out of this? And what I'll invariably know is when peace comes, that God kind of peace. Now this is where he wants us all to grow up to a point, and I'm right here with you, I'm just growing. He really does want you to not trust your flesh, but he does want you to begin to trust yourself in the Spirit. to where that, you know, I've been a day or two several times from that, which some, if I told people, you know, what day this is, oh my God, oh, glory to God, I wish I could do that. And I just feel that peace come, and I wouldn't even complete that extra day because it's not calorie counting in the Spirit. It's not the number of hours, and yet at the same time, I am striving towards something that He's placed in my spirit on a weekly basis. But when that does or does not happen, it doesn't cause my fellowship, it doesn't cause my relationship with Him as Father to be changed at all. Hallelujah. It's the God of all grace. And it's through that grace that we keep going further and further and further, because here's the thing about it is, He'll get you looking at yourself to change yourself. And you can't change yourself by looking at yourself. You'll just get more frustrated. But the God of all grace, Father, I thank You that it's... I mean, there's been times where I'd get up in the middle of the night and I'd say, man, Kenny, I'm in a fight and I'm going to go, I'll see you later. I'll see you later. Or I'd be maybe at the house and I wasn't praying over here that day. I was praying at the house, or maybe I'd already prayed and then something came in the Spirit and I just like, Candy, I'm leaving. I mean, I'm not leaving you, but I'm going over there and I'm going to pray. And my demeanor was like, I'm going to be gone for, you can't, don't expect me for supper and don't expect me for, I mean, just don't expect me. Just don't expect me. And I'd come over here and I'd just, Father, I love You. And Jesus, glory to God. I see the end of this thing. I see the end of it. And about, whew, I prayed that thing through and 3 minutes. Candy, let's go to the beach, baby. We have won this thing. Glory be to God. That's just the other day she said. Because it's the God of all grace. It's not works. It's not formula. He's not calorie counting in time. It's relationship and fellowship. And you can go into a major battle and think, my God, I don't know what I'm going to have to do to get through this. And in about 2 seconds, the glory comes. And there's no fasting required. No extended prayer required. You just, oh, I thank You, Lord. You did it. You did it. You did it. I see it. I see it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you just stand with me? Let's just worship the Lord.